the aforenamed after show with Lincoln Justice. Thanks for listening.
What's up, everybody? This is Frank Knuckles from the legendary Roots Crew, and you're listening to right now, We at Radio. Stay tuned, stay locked.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's November 19, 2015, and it's time for the Education Town Hall on We Act Radio. We're coming to you live from the heart of historic Anacostia here in Southeast Ward 8, Washington, D.C., down the street from the Big Chair. I first want to begin by thanking the creator for this day and the opportunity to present to you the latest installment of the Education Town Hall. This is your humble servant and host, Thomas Byrd. But before getting started with the show, I want to first thank those who have supported this show financially. I want to thank DC Voice, the 21st Century School Fund, the Senior High Alliance of Parents, Principals, and Educators, also known as SHAPE. I want to thank the Washington section of the National Council of Negro Women. I want to thank the Ward 5 Council on Education. I want to thank Deborah Robinson. And I want to thank all the anonymous donors and sponsors. And I also want to thank our major sponsor, the Washington Teachers Union, under the leadership of Elizabeth Liz Davis. So, folks, if you or your organization believes that this is an important platform to give everyone access to the public square, then help us ensure that it remains available by offering your financial support. So please contact me at thomas.byrd@yahoo.com. That's thomas.byrd@yahoo.com. thomas.byrd@yahoo.com. We would greatly appreciate your assistance, folks. So I think we're going to have a great show in store for you today. As I always say, we're going to be joined up first by Rosalie Friend and Bob George, who are both past guests on the show and friends of the Education Town Hall. Then later on, we're going to be joined by two professors, one Mitchell Robinson, a professor at Michigan State, and Denisha Jones, a professor at Howard University, and they're both members of BATS, Badass Teachers Associations. Guess what, folks? Today is Bus Thursday, B-U-S, Thursday. Bus, Badass Teachers Association. U, United Opt Out. T, S,
can
I'm sorry.
Spell here.
I can't even spell. I'm just spell BATS. S, Save Our Schools, B-U-S, Bus, B-U-S, folks, Bus Thursdays. Oh, my goodness. I've been off 2 weeks, and I lost my mind. So, but anyway, this is Bus Thursday, the fourth Thursday of every month, folks. It is Bus Thursday. Badass Teachers United Opt Out and Save Our Schools, B-U-S, B. So get on the bus with us. But before we turn to our guest for today, I want to swing over to my colleague and partner. I'm talking about none other than the fabulous Virginia Spatz for your weekly feature report. Good morning, Virginia, and take it away.
Good morning, Thomas. Thanks. The Gates Foundation announced yesterday that it is donating $34.7 million to support new teacher preparation projects at universities across the country. The five teacher preparation transfer centers are Elevate Preparation Impact Children, EPIC, led by Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, the National Center for Teacher Residencies, Teachers Squared, led by the Relay Graduate School of Education, Teaching Works at the University of Michigan, and University School Partnerships for the Renewal of Educator Preparation, otherwise called U.S. PREP National Center, based at Texas Tech University. For too long, teacher preparation providers have not supplied the teachers students deserve, a member of Gates College Ready team says in the foundation's press release as they announced this grant. We're excited to work with these programs to learn how we can better prepare teachers to help students succeed, and we look forward to sharing our findings with the entire field. One of the centers, Teaching Works at the University of Michigan School of Education, is working with the Educational Testing Service, also funded by the Gates Foundation, as well as the Broad and Disney Foundations, to create what it calls cutting-edge licensure tests of new teachers that allow them to demonstrate their ability to teach. The Elementary National Observational Teacher Examination, NOTE, is expected to be in place in 2016. Meanwhile, the Gates Foundation supports the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, which has developed a board certification designed to, quote, advance the quality of teaching and learning, end quote. The board says that 110,000 of the country's 3 million teachers have gone through their certification process, which costs $1,900. An Education Week article earlier this year is headlined, Board Certified Teachers More Effective, New Studies Affirm. It only reviews two studies. One was funded by the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards itself, and the other was conducted by the Center for Education Data and Research, which is funded by the Gates Foundation. Education Week, as the periodical regularly also notes, receives funding from the Gates Foundation too. The Education Town Hall will look to guests in future weeks, if not today, to help us all understand what this influx of funding means for teachers and for students. This is Virginia Spatz reporting for the Education Town Hall on WEACT Radio, powered by Ethical Electric.
Thank you so much, Virginia. I was trying to listen, but I was doing something else, but I'm like,
basically Gates money. New teacher center, Gates money for standardization. Gates has decided he wants to have this and he's funding, he's going
to
make it happen.
And you know, and that's what I was about to say. I was hearing blah, 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 Gates Foundation, blah, 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 Broad Foundation, blah, 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 this foundation, blah, 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 that foundation. I'm like, oh my God, these people are just coming out the woodwork with all this money, but they're not, you know, they've been out of the woodwork for a while now. But anyway. Thank you so much. Yeah, we'll have to kind of unpack some of that as we go forward in the weeks ahead, for sure, and if we don't get into some of that today. All right, folks, as I mentioned at the top, this is Bus Thursday, and always a pleasure. I always look forward to Bus Thursday. Badass teachers, united, opt out, and save our schools. So starting off the show today, we have joining us our Rosalie Friend and Bob George, both of Save Our Schools. And I believe, Rosalie, you joined us today to give us an update on the ESEA legislation that is rolling through our Congress.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity to share this information and ideas and to serve as a corrective to the Gates Foundation and others who would undercut public education and disregard decades of research on how children learn.
Since you started off with that, you just heard Virginia's report.
I'm horrified. I'm not surprised, but I'm horrified. At least Gates' test may compete with Pearson's test for teachers.
That's an interesting point. But we're glad you're here to help us understand the ESEA situation, and as you said, it is kind of a corrective. Your information, because one of the things the Gates Foundation is obviously trying to do is control the conversation.
Well, what's happening right now is that the House and Senate just started a conference to reconcile their bills and then bring it to the House floor and the Senate floor for a vote. And they both seem to say that they have a framework for going forward. We worked Save Our Schools and the BATS, I'm not sure about United All About, work with the Test Resistance Network to try to get input into the new bill with limited success. Essentially, it's very interesting to see the House is trumpeting that they're going to restrain the federal government to keep it out of education and leave a lot to the states. And the Senate is doing that, but not shouting about it in the same way. Both bills keep annual testing. We were not able to get them to grade span testing, but they are not requiring that the tests be used for teacher evaluation. That will be left to the states.
Well, let me back up. Let me ask you to pause right there, because I think when they first passed No Child Left Behind, helped my memory here, but I don't think that teacher evaluation was tied to that test at that time.
To the top. That was President Obama Ernie Duncan.
Right, okay. Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't...
That was added on if you wanted federal funding. But the requirement that the children be tested each year is maintained grades 3 through 8 and 1 year in high school. And that the results be reported and broken down by minority status, by English language learner, and by disabilities. They're still requiring that children with learning disabilities, except for the 1% most severely impacted, take the test for their age level, not the level at which they're functioning. Mm. This is really unfortunate. The idea was to press the schools into providing services for these guys instead of putting kids in special ed so that they don't lower the results for the school. But it's really horrible for the children.
Before you move too far past the question I want to ask you, you mentioned a moment ago you worked with SOS, worked with Test Resistance Network. That's an organization I'm not familiar with.
It's a coalition led by Fair Test. Monty Neal from Fair Test and Bob Schaefer from Fair Test have been on this show before.
Okay.
And they led a coalition of... Monty Neal, I guess 2 years ago, went all around the country and I think must have spoken to every little activist group around, and a lot of them have tried to work together to slow this down. I would mention right now, if you still want to try to see if you can press back, that Parents Across America has a very good statement on their website. It's maybe too late, but they have a good statement. They're one of the groups working in this. So it's under Fair Test. And they were keeping us informed as the process was moving along. So the House and Senate adopted separate bills in July and started yesterday to reconcile them. Said they both would keep testing but would no longer have a federal mandate for teacher evaluation. They would end the federal role in promoting the Common Core. The House with rhetoric about how horrible this federal intrusion has been. And the House publicity emphasizes that public schools are failing, and that the role of the Secretary of Education must be sharply restricted. And one funny thing, our Commissioner of Education, John King, who really offended parents and pushed to impose the Common Core in New York State, left his position in New York State to become the new Secretary of Education when Arne Duncan leaves. Mm-hmm. So someone on the internet said, aha, So they got John King out of power in New York State where he'd be able to do something. And they're putting him in a position in Washington where his hands will be tied. People all over the United, all over New York State would be delighted if his hands are tied.
So it sounds like they, this legislation that, at least one of the, with the Senate that has that the functionality of the Office of Secretary of Education will be limited in some ways, and then also
both houses say that.
Both houses say that, and so and also that the federal government would no longer promote race to the top, and so I know those I assume that President Obama is probably against that. What have we heard anything coming out of the White House with regard to this proposed legislation?
It looks as if he is going to go along with what they had proposed in July, certainly with the Senate. Patty Murray, Washington State Senator, was very careful to be supporting President Obama and not going past him. And it, there may be an attempt by the Democrats to reintroduce a federal requirement for accountability.
Huh.
That's one of our concerns.
Accountability.
They did not get it in their bill. And it looks like, to me, like the House is rabidly against federal mandates, so that might keep it out. Now, areas in which they differed that we're concerned about, portability, the idea that if a child leaves the public schools to go to a charter, the federal funding goes with the child, as compared to the House leaves that in, the Senate takes it out. We want to see the funding go to the schools that are in public schools in poverty areas. We don't want that portability. We want it to go to the public schools.
Well, should there be some flexibility, because maybe a child leaves one public schools and goes to one public school and goes to another? I can see if they took that public, those public dollars and went to a private school or some other school, but if they go to another public school, wouldn't that be okay?
Well, they're trying to claim that the charters are public schools.
So specifically your issues are with charters. I get it.
And the problem is, even with a gifted program, if you siphon off those kids with gifted programs within the public school system, if you get, say, six kids leave their zone school to go to a gifted program and their per pupil funding goes with them, that restricts what their neighborhood school can do. So there's a jealousy over this. And, it's very tricky.
Okay. Rosalie, you've given us some good stuff, but I want to give Bob an opportunity. I know Bob is really joining us to talk about an upcoming SOS event. But
let me just state that the House bill has a right to opt out and the Senate doesn't. And then we'll ask people to press what they can.
The House has an opt out language in it to allow with states to opt out or
no, to allow parents
parents
their kids, to explicitly say parents can opt their kids out of the test.
Oh,
and I know that's important to United Opt Out and the BATS and SOS.
And where can individuals from different constituencies get the information you'd like them to see so they can contact their representatives?
The House Education Committee or Subcommittee is at www.edworkforce.house.gov.
Okay.
And the Senate is at help.senate.gov. And
Rosalie,
they both
Rosalie,
have
I would also recommend that people
bill.
Look.
Go ahead, Bob.
At what you said earlier, the statement at PAA, because they do document what's actually going on, and also at Fair Test.
Okay, we'll put all those links on our blog so people can find them easily.
I'll email it to you now, Virginia.
Great.
So this is a great opportunity to take a quick break, and when we come back, Bob is going to share with us an upcoming SOS event and give us all the details and also chime in on what you just heard with regard to the legislation, Bob. So we're glad that you and Rosalia joined us this morning. And folks, we're glad that you tuned in because we know you have options. But I guarantee if you stay with us, we will be right back.
Bullock, and I'm a student at Ballou Senior High School.
My name is Wallace Bright, and I'm a student at Ballou Senior High School.
My name is Victoria Harper, and I'm a student at Ballou Senior High School.
My name is James Hill, and I'm a student at Ballou Senior High School.
We've been talking with our peers across the District of Columbia, and we discovered that a lot of them are talking about how they believe that we are not being provided the high-quality education that we know we need and quite frankly deserve.
They are talking about students in other jurisdictions who are, for the most part, learning and being supported in modern facilities and have access to 21st century technology.
We're hearing them say that there are actually three public school systems in the district, DCPS West, DCPS East of the River, and public charter schools.
They are saying things like, we have been subjected to too many experimental models, unproven educational fads, and countless changes in philosophy and direction.
Some students are talking about how they feel that some of those in charge of our education system talk the good talk about reform and use all the other buzzwords, but at the end of the day, don't really give a damn about academic achievement for all.
Worst of all, everyone is talking about how we don't even have any voice in the public discourse around the direction of our education system.
Until now, because we all listen and share our views on the education town hall, we are thankful that the host, Thomas Bird, believes that we should have access as well as a megaphone to talk back to the powers that be in the district and in halls of Congress. Join Thomas Bird every Thursday at 11 a.m. for the education town hall, 1480 a.m. Listen live online at weacradio.com.
Hello, my name is Dakara Alexis Marie Reed. I am 11 years old and the 2015 Miss Young and Natural Hair Pageant winner. The Young and Natural Hair Pageant for Girls is a pageant where young girls show their natural hairstyles, unique fashions, and outgoing personalities. Being the 2015 first place winner has rewarded me the opportunity to meet many young girls in the DMV area and to speak at several events such as the Malcolm X Black Power Conference, the Black Power Women's Conference, just to name a few. Spreading the message that we must be proud of the way God made us and to embrace our natural beauty and love of our natural hair. I am personally inviting girls ages 4 through 12 with natural hair and natural personalities to audition for the 2016 Natural Hair Pageant that will be held on November 21st at the Mississippi Avenue Boys and Girls Club in Southeast DC. Parents, for more information, please contact youngandnatural.org. Again, that is youngandnatural.org. Thank you, and remember, your daughter might be the next Miss or Junior Miss Young and Natural.
Hi, I'm Denise Rolark Barnes, publisher of the Washington Informer newspaper, and you've asked whether I think a show on education is a good idea for the District of Columbia, and I would give an unequivocal yes, it is. Information is power, we always know that, but information about education, resources, the politics, the finances, the what our young people could and should be achieving and what should be taught in the classroom is an exceptional. You can't talk enough about it, let me just say that, and I'm so glad that you are having the show. Continue to do the good work that you're doing, and folks out there, you just keep listening. If there's something you don't hear on the show, I'm sure that the folks here would love to hear from you, and make sure it's a topic for an upcoming show. So keep on listening.
All right, we're now back live. Thank you so much for being here with us today on the Education Town Hall on We Act Radio. This is Bus Thursday, folks. Fourth Thursday of the month, we do the bus show. Badass teachers, United Opt Out and Save Our Schools. And currently joining us on the phone Rosalie Friend and Bob George of Save Our Schools, SOS. And Rosalie was providing us with an update on the legislation coming out of both houses and of Congress, and now they're going into conference to try to construct a bill that can be voted on by the full Congress and then sent to the president for his signature. And so, Bob, I'm going to bring you in now and see if there's anything you want to add to that. And we've only, you know, got a few minutes, about 5 minutes left before we hit the bottom of the hour, and we'll go to a few minutes past that if we need to. But I want you to talk about this an upcoming SOS event. So is there anything you want to add to the conversation regarding the legislation?
Well, as far as the legislation goes, it is it's a bit better than things were, and particularly the Senate version. The compromises that they're going to do in the committee look like they'll be okay. I just want to strongly state about portability. Portability is the next step to vouchers.
Okay.
If you look at the discussion that went on in the House, many of them wanted to go full step to that portability, going to any school that a child goes to.
Uh-huh.
Anytime, anywhere. And that's a very, very, very dangerous thing for public schools. Portability does a lot of things that are very, very dangerous. So beware.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And Judge Byrd, it's good to hear you again.
Oh, well, thank you. I haven't heard that term, Judge Byrd. Wow. Yeah, thank you, folks. He's referring to the fact that I was a presiding judge at the SOS mock trial this past July. And
at the Bats gathering, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, but it was the SOS trial, but at the Bats gathering, yes, it was was wonderful. I'm sorry.
You were marvelous.
Well, thank you. I mean, everyone played a tremendous role. I think everyone was marvelous, you know.
And it's still up at YouTube. People can go to it. And I suggest you do, because it's very enlightening.
Yes, I believe that's why I say I think it was titled SOS Mock Trial. So if you go put that plug right that in the search engine on YouTube, it'll take you to that, and you can check it out. I also have a DVD for my own personal use, so I pull that out every now and then and look at it. So maybe I might send it to Hollywood. Maybe I'll get a role or something.
So as far as the next summer, Save Our Schools is helping to convene a coalition of groups. So it will not be a SOS only. It's going to be a coalition of groups. We have already engaged with NPE, BATS, UO, CORE in Chicago, and CTU, Orlando Opt-Out, the National Urban Union, NUCEA, the Alliance to Reclaim Our Public Education, and we are working on many, many more coalition partners, because the way we see this at this point is that it's an opportunity 5 years later, in a time when coalitions have been building and movements have been growing. We as parents and educators, seniors, scholars, community organizers, urban, suburban, rural, we're looking to come back with a common vision based on democracy, human rights in education, economic and social justice. It's a broad coalition that will focus on education democracy and our social justice and human rights issues. So that's the direction we're heading in. It's going to be in July. The coalition has
begun. Let me just interrupt. Is this going to be a part of the BATS, or is this in lieu of the BATS annual session? Or help me understand.
BATS, I can't speak for how the BATS are going to do their annual session.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I don't think anybody is at that point yet. We are looking at continuing to, it's going to be a coalition of groups in Washington, D.C. in early July. That much we're firm with. We will be focusing on issues that of equity, and equity meaning not just that you get the same amount of dollars at every school, but you actually have equitable resources for the communities that people actually live in, and that schools become funded as a first priority, not the last priority or the second to last priority.
So you say equity,
education.
So it sounds like equity to you or the organizations, it means that communities and schools who have a greater need need to be funded to meet that need versus just giving everybody the same amount of dollars.
Precisely.
Okay.
Precisely. And schools should be the nation's first priority, financially and otherwise. Okay? And we'll be looking at empowerment of parents, empowerment of students, and empowerment of teachers as a nexus for the communities holding on to its reality, its needs in that community, as a democratic institution. So we're looking for elected school boards and local school councils that actually have power rather than are looked at as, you know, we just want those parents to be around, but we're not actually going to let them decide anything.
So Bob, you all have begun this effort to reach out, to do outreach. Is that where you are now?
Yeah, it's exactly where we are, and that's why I wanted to be on the call today to let people know that if they're interested in this coalition event, which will be a rally and march and highly likely also some form of a convention in early July, that they reach out to us and contact us at
you might want to provide that information, and we can do it. We'll actually have it on our website as well, but you know, want to push that out. How can folks contact you? How should they contact you?
They can just write to me at bob@saveourschoolsmarch.org.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that'll get it. Just bob@saveourschoolsmarch.org.
Now, let me ask you also, since, you know, a lot of times when folks put on these types of events, rallies, marches, and conventions, they're also looking for people who want to support them financially and maybe sponsor them. Are you also looking for sponsorships as well?
Well, we're looking for endorsements and sponsorships. Obviously, something like this needs to be funded. We have a plan to do that. The last March rally in 2011 was about 55% supported by the general public and 45% by various different education groups.
So last time around, you all solicited support from the general public?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. We did a series of webinars with people like Diane Ravitch and Jonathan Kozel and Deb Meyer and others that we did as fundraisers, but also information raisers. The time to get people's information level up and for them to be able to discuss and talk with these leaders, thought leaders. So we'll be doing things like that again. And that's part of the process of bringing something like this together, and the convention itself was, you know, self-paced.
So let me just interject this for a moment. Mm-hmm. I know here in the District of Columbia, we have different organizations that come together and form a coalition. One comes to mind, the Fork of the Road Coalition, and then there's another new coalition that is coming together. And the point I'm trying to make is a lot of times these individual groups have their own agendas, and usually how we get them to come together is we try to find common ground that cuts across all those organizations that everyone can support. Do you find that you went through this a couple of years ago? Do you find that you had to do that then? And is that something that you're seeking to do now for this upcoming event?
We are 100% seeking to do that now. It's important that we go across. We don't need to be in our own little silos doing our own little thing. So opting out and the ending of school closings and privatization and the school-to-prison pipeline and Black Lives Matter and the Moral Mondays groups all have things that we all go across our organizational focus. So we want to bring together people with the idea, with a strong focus on the equity, justice, sustainability, community, and democracy.
If you all can bring together all these advocacy interests, that will be mm-hmm. a powerful, powerful event. I'm excited just to hear that you're going to reach broadly.
Yes, that's the whole focus. It is a broad focus. We believe that we who believe in freedom cannot rest from Ella's song. You know, but we have organized demonstrations. We've resisted. We've been arrested. We've done a lot of things over the last 5 years, and now we feel it's time to bring a coalition together that will work together across the various different issues for human rights.
Okay.
And that's our focus.
All right. Well, Bob, I appreciate you sharing that with us. We here at the Education Town Hall and We Act Radio want to work with you and all of the organizers to help make that happen. We certainly are right here in D.C., so whatever we can do to support, just let us know. And Rosalie, I want to thank you also for joining us this morning. We're going to have to move on. We want to get more updates in the future. And Bob, we will check in from time to time as events warrant to get updates on the event.
Well, thank you, Virginia and Thomas and WEAC Radio. We very much appreciate your
all right.
Work.
So we're going to take a quick break. We kind of went past the bottom of the hour, but I want to give Bob an opportunity. So we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We're going to be joined by Denisha and Mitchell, and we're going to continue our conversation about the Unholy Alliance. So, folks, we're glad you're with us today. I guarantee if you stay with us, we will be right back.
Did you know that nearly 35 million U.S. children have experienced one or more types of serious trauma, with nearly 60% of all U.S. adults reporting that they have experienced abuse or other difficult family experiences as a child? It is not surprising that there are so many adults coping with some type of emotional or mental health disorder. Taking preventative measures, such as including a mental health assessment as a part of the required annual wellness exam for children, will help lower incidence of maladaptive and disruptive behaviors in children and lower rates of mental health and emotional health disorders in adults. Early prevention is key. This is Sonjai Davis, the host of Get Your Mind Right, a show about mental health. We will define it, discuss it, and talk about viable solutions to help our listeners get their minds right. Join us weekly on Wednesdays at 11 o'clock a.m. right here on We Act Radio or online at weactradio.com.
So frightening, was it a two wheels, when the mirror holding us still right now?
I'm Tom Matzey, founder and CEO of Ethical Electric. We're America's only progressive clean energy company. We support the causes you care about every day when you pay your power bill. And so we think people, when they want to support something good like clean energy, they also don't want to support dirty energy politics. And so we offer a way to get off both dirty energy and get off of dirty energy politics. We're talking about companies that gave money, you know, to Rick Perry, the infamous Texas climate denier. That's the company that owns the largest kind of quote-unquote green energy company in New York right now, Green Mountain Energy. Ethical Electric gives you clean energy for your home. You can support progressive causes when you pay your power bill. You don't have to give all of your money to dirty energy anymore. You can get off both dirty energy and get off dirty energy companies. We Act Radio, powered by Ethical Electric. Do something.
This is Virginia Spatz, feature reporter on WEACT Radio's Education Town Hall. Add your voice to local and national education issues by listening Thursdays at 11 Eastern Time and by contributing your thoughts on our blog, WEACTED, that's W-E-A-C-T-E-D .wordpress.com. WEACT Radio, powered by Ethical Energy.
All right, we're now back live. Thank you so much for being here with us today on the Education Town Hall on WEACT Radio. Coming to you live from the heart of historic Anacostia here in Southeast Washington, D.C. We thank you so much for being with us today. This is your humble servant and host, Thomas Byrd. And it's indeed an honor and a pleasure to have with us Mitchell Robinson. Who's a professor at Michigan State University. So we hope to be joined by Denisha shortly. Denisha, I know you're listening. Please give us a call, 889-9797. Obviously, the area code is 202. And if we can get the background music turned down, Virginia, would you let Ron know to turn down the background music? And so we can get started and have our conversation with Mitchell Robinson. Mitchell, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good to be with you.
Fantastic. Now, I've never heard of Teach Strong, the Unholy Alliance. So, for myself and others who are unaware of Teach Strong, tell us about that organization. What is Teach Strong?
Well, Teach Strong is another one in a kind of a long line of initiatives from the corporate reform movement that is designed to, in this case, to improve the preparation of future teachers. What's interesting about the Teach Strong Alliance is that none of the people that are involved with it have actually taught before or have prepared any teachers.
Well, you just raise a point. And so why don't you share with us who was involved in Teach Strong?
I think that's a great question. When I see these new initiatives come along, I'm usually not so worried about what the principles, that they're based on are. I go immediately to look to see who the partners are. And in the Teach Strong Alliance, there's over 40. Partners, but a special interest, I think, to us for this conversation is three of them are really kind of leaders in this corporate reform agenda. So one is Teach for America. I think most people that are listening to your show today are aware of Teach for America. That's a group that goes to kind of elite liberal arts schools across the country, plucks off a few idealistic young folks with good GPAs and sends them to some of our most challenging teaching placements in the country, mostly in urban areas, with very, very little background. Usually they don't have an education degree. They haven't taught anyone anything. They get maybe 5 weeks of summer training compared to what we think of as traditional teacher prep, which is 4 or 5 years. So Teach for America is one of their big partners. Another one is called the Relay Graduate School of Education, which isn't a graduate school and isn't about education. It's a bunch of charter school folks that are getting together to prepare other charter school folks. And then the final one is a group called the National Council on Teacher Quality. And that's a group of people that have taken it upon themselves to evaluate teacher education programs across the country, but they do it by browsing websites. They don't make any campus visits, and their evaluations have been, not surprisingly, that every teacher preparation program except for Relay Graduate School is terrible, and they don't do a good job, and that's why teachers are bad and schools are failing.
And let me interrupt for 1 second. This is Virginia Spatz here. I'm not sure if you heard at the top of the hour, I was just letting people know that the Gates Foundation has donated some $35 million just very recently to these teacher preparation transformation ideas. And one of them is the Relay Graduate School. And,
right.
A number of, is that all behind this Teach Strong thing?
Well, the Gates thing, I think actually the number that I saw this morning was $43 million. Maybe it's growing overnight. That's another kind of initiative that I think is, it's not part of Teach Strong necessarily, but it's certainly part of this kind of what I'm thinking of now as a teacher preparation pipeline. I think that, you know, the goal is for groups like the Gates Foundation and the Broad Foundation and the Walton Foundation. I think they've become frustrated because their education reform initiatives have produced absolutely nothing that's helped any child learn or any teacher teach.
You might want to repeat that. They've produced absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing. You know, they really haven't done anything. And what I see both this Teach Strong initiative and this $43 million grant program as being is signs of really the frustration of the corporate reform movement, that their work has not produced anything of value. And so what they're trying to do now is just build a parallel structure, of graduate schools that aren't really graduate schools and teacher preparation places that aren't really preparing teachers. And groups like Teacher America that are just throwing people in, unprepared into very deep water. So it's a major concern.
So Mitchell, I just got to ask you, Teach Strong, what is the mission? I see that they have a 9-step plan. So can you share with us, those 9 steps or some of those steps or what their mission is?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the first thing to say about that is that, you know, the first step to Teach Strong would be to admit that they have a problem. You know, that we're really looking at kind
right.
of a
teachers
set of
are
principles
the problem.
Here.
Yeah.
Sorry?
I was just saying, yes, teachers are the problem. That's where you have to start.
Well, I mean, I think that's where Teach Strong and similar reform initiatives are starting with what I think is a faulty premise that schools are failing, that kids are falling behind on these international assessments like PISA, and that teachers are the problem. And I don't think anything could be further from the truth. I think the teachers we're producing right now are the best that they've ever been. And what they need desperately is for the reformers to get out of the way and let them teach. But the principles that Teach Strong is based on, a lot of them sound good until you know who's trying to implement them. So the first one is about recruiting more diverse candidates. I don't think there's a teacher prep program in the country that would say that's not a worthy goal. But none of these groups have ever done that, and they don't have any strategies to do it. They're talking about more strenuous preparation, so the R word is thrown around, rigor, making it harder to get a teaching license, but paying teachers more. I don't think anyone's arguing that teachers should get paid more money, but there's no money involved in this initiative to pay teachers more. What we're really going to see is we're going to pay a lot of teachers less and then kind of divvy up the pot a little bit differently. Providing support for residency, keeping tenure but making it harder to get, giving teachers more time and tools, but they're not really telling us how they're going to do that, better professional development and career pathways. As with a lot of reform initiatives, there's not much there to criticize. The problem is the partners that are involved. For example, Teacher America, they're talking about making teacher preparation harder and more strenuous. Teacher America, in the press release, said they aren't going to change their business model, which is a 5-week plan. Mm. So, you know, you've already got the groups that have signed on board, but they've already said that they're not going to do the things that are the principles. So you can imagine what's going
to
happen.
So this seems to me like it's just like a feel-good effort. There's no there. It's just like, okay, you know, put together some principles that everybody, these 40 organizations can agree to, and then put up the notion that, you know, we're really trying to make progress and we're trying to do something. It seems to me it's just all smoke and mirrors.
Well, I think what the mirrors on this one are revealing is shown by the two partners that we haven't mentioned yet, and that are the two national teachers unions. That's the most problematic part of this from a political standpoint, is that both NEA and AFT have signed on as partners. And that's really troubling for rank and file teachers who have been members of their local unions and their state unions and their national unions, who feel like the two unions are really selling them out. I think the best that we can probably figure out from that, and bloggers like Peter Green of Curm Education have already pointed this out, that the Teach Strong rollout is nothing more than the eventual education plank of Secretary Clinton's platform.
Mm, that's interesting. I want to ask you to pause for a moment because I know Denisha Jones is now joining us on the line. And so I want to give you an opportunity, Denisha, to weigh in on what we've just talked about thus far since you've been on the line.
Thanks, Thomas. Hi, guys. Yeah, I agree with everything that Mitchell is saying. One of the things, United Opt-Out, we're doing a webinar series based on a book that the founding members wrote. It's like an activist handbook. And so we did our webinar on Tuesday, and we were talking about these efforts that these corporate groups, calling them kind of colonizers, the way they package everything these days and what they're doing to the movement. And we used Teach Strong for an example to show how you got to really kind of read between the lines. Now, yeah, they say they're just a campaign to really elevate the teaching profession, but when you read through their guiding principles, you see a lot of flaws. Like Rob Mitchell said, there's nothing wrong with wanting to recruit more diverse teachers. Everybody wants that. But what you know if you actually work in the business of recruiting diverse teachers is that when you raise the bar for licensure, you're actually stopping the ability to bring in diverse teachers, right? When you set the test score so high on stuff like practice that ETS does, or the EdTPA, it actually has a negative effect on diverse teacher candidates, right? Because of stereotype threat and other reasons why they tend to not do well in these tests. So you can't have both these things, or you have to think about do you really want them? And so I think, and they would know that if they were actually doing the work of recruiting diverse teacher candidates, and they're not. So they kind of talk out these things, and I think that's important to point out, as well as that their nine-plus pan looks like a game board. You know, it's this whole idea that education is this race and this game, but in races and games, we have winners and losers, and the only people who lose in the corporate reform model are our children. And so I take offense that this is, you know, this idea that we just hop, skip, and move over here and do this and that. We're going to fix schools. And again, like the idea, do schools really need fixing, or were schools purposely abandoned and disinvested and set up to fail in certain communities so that these new reforms can be ushered in? So but again, I call it an unholy alliance because a lot of people were kind of surprised that AFT and NEA would join this group when these are a lot of the people that make it hard for teachers, traditional teachers and teachers doing what they're doing to keep doing it well. And so some people argue, well, at least they have a seat at the table, but sometimes a seat at the table is just that. It's just a placeholder to say, well, look, we're working with NEA and AFT, but are we really taking them seriously? Are they really having any input? So it is, and then, you know, programs like you said, Relay Graduate School, where I don't know how they get to call themselves a graduate school. They are not a graduate school like we think of, like, you know, graduate school programs. They're fast-track teacher prep programs, but not at the undergraduate
and,
level.
So. Denisha, if I could interject and ask a question there. One of the things that occurs to me with this Teach Strong and with the Gates money that is going into these very specific, this kind of convoluted thing where they say that teachers need better certification, then they fund the new certification, and then teachers have to pay for that, and that's a whole separate, you know, I think Mitchell called it a pipeline, is the idea to privatize the whole idea of what makes a good teacher instead of having it come from the unions?
Yeah, I think, well, Mitchell touched on this a little bit too. You know, all the reformers have been going after the schools, right? They did charter schools, they did vouchers, and they were trying, they thought that they could privatize the system, but then they realized you can't do any of this unless you control who produces the teachers.
Mm.
And as long as we were having colleges of education produce teachers who were steeped in social foundations and social justice and transformative education, they were never going to be able to impact their corporate reforms at the school level because we weren't preparing people for that. And we weren't preparing teachers for testing. So then the shift came, let's go after teacher prep programs. And well, that's how, I mean, Teach for America even got started, right? Because you can't, Teach for America prepares teachers to go work in those charter schools that don't want traditional teachers. They want people who are going to come in, work really hard for 2 years to raise test scores, and then do something else. And we're not producing those type of people at Howard University. I'm not producing students who are just going to be data-driven for 2 years and move on to bigger and better. I'm producing students who want to teach for life. They want a career out of teaching. They want to help students learn and unlock their potential. And so there's a different ideology there. And so, yes, now we're seeing these the Gates thing as well. They know that no traditional universities and colleges who have been doing amazing work. I mean, even outside of Howard University, we have some amazing colleges that produce amazing teachers, and not one of them are given that money from Gates to get into this teacher. They're not looking at these programs. They want something different. And it's clear that they're not even looking to us. They want to remove us from that option, right? So that, like you said, it's completely privatized to become a teacher, and you don't go through a college anymore. You go through one of these other organizations.
Denisha, you always bring the clarity to the situation, my dear. Oh, my goodness.
Sad as that may be.
Scary, guys. This is what I do. So I'm like, this is why I went to law school, because I can't take it anymore.
Now, I want to go back. Mitchell, you raised something, and we only have about 5 minutes left. So, you got into something regarding, you mentioned Hillary Clinton. So expound a little bit on that, because we kind of cut you off.
No, not at all. I think, you know, sometimes when you're invited to the table, you're invited for the meal. And other times when you're invited to the table, you are the meal. Mm. And I think the fundamental mistake that the two unions have made here, which, I think they're going to realize fairly soon, is that they've been invited to be the meal. There's not a role for our unions in this kind of bait and switch educational Ponzi scheme. And that's really what this stuff is. The idea that Teach for America, that the goals of that institution for traditional teacher preparation programs would be seen as flaws and failure, that teachers stay for 2 or 3 years and then move into other professions. For Teach for America, that's a feature of their program. So you're never going to build a strong educational system, especially in urban schools where we need more consistency and more sustainability, and even stronger connections with the community, by a group of edutourists who are coming in and leaving after 2 years and moving into education policy. And that's maybe the most insidious part of all of these, the Gates Foundation money, the Teach Strong plan, is that none of it's really about what happens in the classroom. It's about influencing policy at the national level.
So,
go ahead.
I just want to jump in real quick. I hate to cut you off, but we're running out of time. I just want to say one quick thing. I want to ask you a question. We talked about this analogy of coming to the table for dinner. We're approaching Thanksgiving. So usually there's the adult table for the adults, and there's the children's table. So are the unions, they may be at the children's table. They may not be the meal, but they may be just at the children's table. And so what I wanted to find out, is what are you and others doing about this situation? What can we all do about pushing back or countering this? Because this to me is foolishness.
Well, yeah, can I jump in there, Thomas?
Yeah, go ahead, Denisha, but make sure you save time for Mitchell.
I just want to say, well, part of the reason is what Bob George was talking about, and coming together under this coalition, and that's how we push back. We educate people. We you know, Mitchell wrote a blog, Marla Kilforth for Bathroom Blog. We really came out hard saying this is we questioned the unions on this alliance. Why would they join this? They both said, they kind of backtracked. And so part of it is holding others accountable and then working with other groups, the coalition that's forming. And so I just wanted to clarify, because you asked Bob earlier, BATS will not be having a summer event next summer, because we will be part of the coalition for the SOS event. So we're all coming together that summer, and so it'll be part of that. So just that's just one way that we can work with our allies to kind of elevate our voices in a critique of this stuff, and just to be really clear about what it's really happening.
Okay. Mitchell?
Yeah, actually, I'm on my way to a meeting in about an hour at our College of Education where a presentation from one of these groups is being made. And so I think, I always think of the words of Tip O'Neill, that all politics is local. Mm. So I think the first pushback is for each of us as teachers and teacher educators to be clear about what we think about these projects and to push back forcefully and clearly. The other thing is that, you know, this discussion, as Denisha was pointing out, it gets very kind of depressing very quickly. I think the good news here is that I see this flurry of activity, both Teach Strong and the Gates stuff, as being some of the signs that of the death knells of the reform movement. These folks know that what they've been doing isn't working. They're making a big push because they also sense that their window is closing here. So I'm actually pretty optimistic when I see these big flurries and big activities, and because it seems to me that these are signs of desperation from the reformers, more than any kind of substantive thought about making things better. The people that are going to make things better are the teachers in the classrooms and the people that are preparing those teachers.
Mitchell, That's going to have to be the last word. Unfortunately, we've just run plumb out of time. There's so much I'm looking at the blog and I was like wanted to get into. We'll just have to have this conversation continue at another time.
Anytime.
Thank you so much, Mitchell Robinson, professor at Michigan State University, Denisha Jones, professor at Howard University, and both members of BATS. Folks, this has been BAT Thursday, the fourth Thursday of every month. Badass Teachers United Opt Out and Save Our Schools Bus. Badass Teachers. I love them. I love United Opt Out and I love Save Our Schools. They are wonderful organizations. Support them, folks. And this is going to have to do it for the Education Town Hall today. Until next Thursday at 11 a.m., have a great week. For Engineer Ron Pinchback, feature reporter Virginia Spatz, this is your humble servant and host, Thomas Byrd. Peace.
Knuckles from the legendary Roots Crew, and you're listening to right now, We at Radio. Stay tuned, stay locked.
For the first time ever, leaders of the G20 group of countries have acknowledged that they must work to reduce economic inequality.